Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of TechMe2.eu. Hope everybody had great holidays for those of you who went on holidays. I had a little break here, didn't go anywhere, but I had time to work on a new website for the show. You'll see it on TechMe2.eu if you haven't visited yet. I had good fun doing it. It's an app engine and I've done it using Django. Both technologies are going well together. Django is Python-based framework. That is really cool. You don't need to use it in App Engine, but it's very handy. So that's what I've done during those few weeks. And today, full of energy, very happy to come back to the show. What we're going to talk about is education, very big thing. And our guest, for once, is a European entrepreneur, but he's not based in Europe. He's based in the Valley. It's interesting to also have people from other places. This is around Europe and European entrepreneurs, but once in a while we need also to look somewhere else, right? So Björn Lasse-Hermann is going to talk about Super Cool School, a project he started like a year ago. Maybe you know Startup School, which is a pool of persons talking about startups, helping you. If you don't know it, you really need to visit it. If you like this show, you love Startup School, it's really great. We'll also speak about other projects he has, one called Emergent Transformation. I think Björn likes to explore new things, new ways of bringing education to the whole world. It's interesting, it's disruptive, and it makes a very great show back from holidays. Hope you'll enjoy it, starting now. So we're here today with Björn Lasse-Hermann from Super Cool School. Thank you very much, Björn, to be with us.
Thank you, Benoit, for inviting me.
This is the very first time I'm talking in this podcast with somebody who is not based in Europe. You're German originally, but you moved in the Valley a couple of years ago. Is it more than that?
Well, I started moving around probably 7 years around, but in the I'm now in the Silicon Valley for about 1.5 years. And before this, in the beginning, I was here on and off. And for the last 8-9 months, I was here on a constant basis.
Is there any particular reason you moved in the Valley? Is that for the project itself? Or did you just want to be there and the project came after?
It's a good question. I think looking back, the dots connect always.
Yeah.
At the time when I made this decision, it was a very intuitive decision where my stomach just told me this is the right place to go and this is the right time to go. And it happened when I was at a startup conference in Germany about 2 years ago, and I just heard a lot of people talking again about the Silicon Valley, and I've been here before after one national business plan competition when I was in high school. I was here the first time, and I really, really liked it. And so in this moment, it just made click, and I made this decision that I need to come here. And then Super Cool School was a project that we then started working on here, and that is obviously all about my passion, about education, about development, about helping people to evolve their potential. So I probably would have done this or something like this anyways, but the Silicon Valley definitely, I think, is the best place to start a web company.
First, I think it's so everybody understands what we're talking about. It would be great if you're able to tell us in a few sentences what Super Cool School is and what you're aiming to develop.
Our goal with Super Cool School is to give people worldwide access to education. And the reason why we started this is because all of the people who are on the team or who helped this project feel very, very passionate about learning about education, about the potential of education changing everybody's life and therefore the world. So we were brainstorming about different ideas and what can be done in order to scale this as fast as possible and to reach as many people as possible. The approach that we took is that we said, hey, let's everybody create their own school, so we empower all of this education entrepreneurs, this leaders in specific topic areas, and let them help us to reach out to as many people as possible. So we did for education, what blogging is done for publishing, and allow everybody to create their own school in order to build this global infrastructure of schools that are all interconnected and reach out to every little village out there that has internet access today.
And so you told me it's been like a year or nine months you started Super Cool School.
The project that we have been working on that gives everybody worldwide the possibility to create their own school. We've launched or created this first prototype in the beginning of January and then started iterating. But before this, we have done a number of other education projects within some bigger companies, Fortune 50 companies here in the Valley. Those were also under the name Super Cool School. So the name Super Cool School also was existing already much earlier. It was a blog of Steli, who've been writing about education. So Super Cool School morphed into a lot of different forms and shapes. But what it is today, it's existent for about 8-9 months, yeah.
Ah, okay. And where would you say you stand now in terms of development after 9 months?
I think we have an application that we have a proof of concept. We see that people like to use Super Cool School. We can see that the methodology of how the school works, so we try to create sort of the next generation school, is also working. So all of this is great to see. That's always the hardest problem when you start a company, when you create a new product. The hardest problem is how to find something that actually works. And it doesn't matter how good it works, it just needs to, like, it needs to show that that the general conception of the application works.
So how many people are working on it full-time or part-time?
Currently we have, it's always in between 2 or 3 people who are working on this so far, and there's a lot of people, like a lot of supporters all around the world. Arun from India, Mihai from Romania, Lefty from Germany, Dominic from Germany. There's a lot of different people who are part of this and made this possible.
And does the distribution of people coming to the school or visiting the school reflect that, or are you still mostly having people from the US visiting?
There's definitely more people from the US. It's about 50% of the people are from the US, but the rest is from all around the world. And in the beginning, we had 99% of the schools and of the participants were from the US, and it started spreading quicker and quicker all around the world. And now we have schools in Africa, in India, in China, in Europe, obviously, in Russia. So that's very exciting to see. And also each school is instantly global, so a lot of the schools start to have a global reach as well. And that's also very exciting to see.
So you're tackling that very big issue globally. What would you say to people telling you should focus on a market, you know, start with your maybe only California, and then if it works, take it to the States, and then if it works, take it maybe to, you know, go to Europe or South America? And what would you answer to that?
I think it makes sense to start with a certain market, but obviously the rules of this, like, what is this market, are changing. As today, you instantly have access to a global network of people. It's not about geographical limitations anymore. Maybe the language, but it's much more, you know, other characteristics. For instance, for Super Cool School, I could tell you the target group is mostly men between 35 and 45 who have a pretty good education. Most of them, all of them have a bachelor, but many of them have a master or a PhD degree. They have a very entrepreneurial background, come from small and medium-sized companies. So this is a very specific target group of people that we found out by just launching and by just seeing who would start using our product.
When you do programming, you realize that there are a lot of things online, so you can really learn online. And I think that mentality is pretty much what you're trying to achieve too. You know, just really give everybody the tools to be able to learn by themselves. How do you deal with the quality of the teachers, though? Because if you open, you know, anybody can open a school, and I guess you want to curate a little bit the kind of classes on your school, or don't you do that? You just let anybody who feel like they're able to go and open a school?
Yeah, you know, it's very similar to Wikipedia. You also have a platform where most people were complaining about the quality, and today the quality and the amount of content goes far beyond any encyclopedia that you can find. There's definitely a number of schools that don't fulfill, you know, high quality standards, but it's still a lot of people who come to the school because they enjoy the community and because for them it's still valuable. So I think that step by step we'll grow a number of very high quality schools, but we'll always have a long tail of schools that won't reach the highest quality.
Well, and I guess in a sense you're also teaching to the teachers. I mean, maybe some people are getting there, trying and getting better. It's great that they have the opportunity, and probably as everybody is free to follow or not, you know, like in Wikipedia, it's more centralized. So if it's poor quality, everybody gets impacted because you have one entry for one thing, whereas you have different schools for the same topics. Which are the topics that are most popular by now?
Like the most popular topics are definitely around entrepreneurship or anything that is taught online, like the programming, like web design, all of these kind of things, right? Like a lot of IT-centered schools. But there's also a number of other schools, you know, like dating schools, biotech schools. There's a number of universities and bigger companies that are using it. So there's a lot of different directions. But for now, it's mostly groups of people who I would consider also early adopters. So people who love to play with technology, which is the whole IT programming group. And then also entrepreneurs who just very easily infected with new technology and with new tools.
Yeah, so I'm following. Maybe we can talk a bit about Startup School. That is a very good example of what you can achieve through Super Cool School. Basically, Startup School, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just an implementation of Super Cool School like everybody else could do. There's no special rights or special features in Startup School.
Yeah, Startup School is exactly like any other school.
And so I think it was a week or two ago, I was thinking about A-B testing. And I thought to go on the site, and I found A-B testing on the site. And it was Rob Wehling who was giving the class. Funnily enough, I had heard about him like a few weeks before that. He was interviewed, I think, in a podcast called TechZing that I enjoy. And I thought, you know, it's funny because, again, and it happens constantly, you find people you like in a place, and then you find them again by coincidence, just by chance, in another place a bit later. And I really enjoy that, you know, because I thought, hey, that's really cool. I didn't know at all that he would be involved in that. So it was interesting, and that's the kind of thing you can learn from. What I like is you learn from people who are doing it, who are passionate enough about it to give it to the community and get feedback. And one thing you do also, there are classes, but there are also interviews. So you're getting to entrepreneurs in the Valley and speak to them. Which is most popular, you think, at this stage?
The interviews define maybe a new realm of classes that we can see and that I think we will see more and more. Basically, somebody out of talking about his professional experience and teaching people not based on a course that he designed and where he collected a lot of different information from different sources, but actually somebody who experienced something and who talks about his personal experience. The interviews are a very powerful tool of teaching, and they are definitely popular, or for me personally popular, because they're very easy to set up also, right? So I can send somebody an email and can say, hey, I think you're great and I would love to do an interview with you. And this way we had amazing people coming in. Just had an interview with Mike Maples, who is one of the superstars in the investment world in the Silicon Valley. And it was an incredible emotional interview also, where a lot of people called me afterwards and said, hey, this maybe changed my life, would be too dramatic, but a lot of people went along these lines and were really, really, really inspired by the session. And yeah, and that's very exciting to see also in general with Super Cool, with Startup School, as an example for Super Cool School is that it is a very strong community. There's more than 50 startups that came out of Startup School. There's a lot of it's a very strong community of people helping each other, working together, inspiring each other. And I think that's the sort of the proof of concept also for a new model of the school. I didn't really explain yet to the listeners what exactly is new about the school. Maybe you can touch this really quick.
Definitely.
The way of how Super Cool School works is that it's a people-centric learning model. Just imagine the platform as a Ning meets WebEx. So basically you have a social network where people can connect with each other. Then you have a very simple stream of classes, no complicated learning management system, where people can often request classes. And this way people are collaboratively building a curriculum. And then you have a live component. So each class goes into a live environment with up to 100 people can see each other, talk to each other, and by doing this can build a real emotional relationship. Now, those classes get recorded and they can be viewed later on, but this is a new way of how you create an education institution, because you're moving away from a certificate-based model where people fill out tests towards a model where people give each other recommendations and ratings, and they're building a profile very much along the lines of the Reputation 2.0, which is discussed a lot lately here in the Valley. And another interesting result is that you have sort of an organic development of each of the schools. So as in the beginning, a lot of people come in and they're very shy and, you know, they're just listening and still very much in the school mode of just sitting in the back row and not saying anything, but then slowly changing their mindset. So in each school, we can see more and more people who come in like this and then slowly start to teach themselves and start to engage more and more with the community and start to contribute. So each school is not a one, you know, like a place where you go and you get some knowledge and then you leave, but it starts to become a community where people start to become a part of something which is much bigger and which starts to grow to an amazing home for a lot of people for various different areas.
It's interesting. When I look at the popular request here for a startup school, for instance, there's things that are very technical, like SAP basics, so that you would need, you know, in bigger companies. And then also on the other end, like how to design your product in 24 hours. So, and you know, it's very obviously a very different set of skills you need there. So now, what are the next steps in the near future for a Super Cool School? What is your strategy, and what do you want to improve or tackle or, you know, change?
I think the next steps is first of all to bring like to connect all of the schools that are there right now a little bit better, to allow people better access on the schools, better search functionality. Right now, the search functionality is practically non-existent. So it's very hard for people to find the schools that they're interested in. I would love to have global profiles where you can start to have sort of a LinkedIn for education based on your record from all the other schools that you're participating in. There's a bunch of code also that we put open source, so people can start to also develop their own features for Super Cool School. Didn't do the big release yet, but we're in the process of putting this out. The code is already partially out, so there's some people who are already working on this. And I think that's going to be exciting, that, you know, where we will engage also the more people in the community who can actually participate in developing the product further into different verticals also.
Yeah, so there are other things you do that are very interesting, and I'd like to spend a moment talking about emergent transformation. And that's another project you have. Or maybe another thing first I wanted to talk about. I think it's about funding. And that's something in Europe people complain a lot about funding opportunity. We have more and more angel and super angels and accelerators, and that's obviously a good thing, whether there's a bubble or not in that area. How is it for you? Are you looking for funding, or do you have everything you need? How does that work for you?
For us, we're sort of in the stage where we need to figure out which route we will go. If we will try to raise a lot of money in order to play around with the product and then care about the monetization later, or if we will really start pushing and monetizing also the product in a way that becomes sustainable and can grow by itself. So we're sort of in this decision mode as well. In general, obviously there's this vibe. More and more companies decide to monetize themselves because it becomes very cheap, and the investment. Mike Maples in the investors interview that we had last week on Startup School said the 500,000 are the new 5 million, because it gets so cheap to create a product and to start it and to test it and to get traction and to possibly already monetize. And then somebody else who was in the session, a friend of mine who has a global team of amazing developers from all around the world, then said, hey, the 50,000 are the new 5 million because just by having the possibility of accessing a global talent that is way below the cost of a 140K engineer in the Silicon Valley, you can actually start and launch products even cheaper. So, for us, it also, like, we were able with very little money to accomplish a lot. And I think we will try to continue this route. But as I said, we're in the decision process.
Yeah, it's definitely a very big decision. Do you work yourself with people in other countries to help you develop your website, or do you do all of it internally?
I mean, we're a global distributed team, and Super Cool School from the beginning has been driven by a lot of people who've been supporting Super Cool School, and most of the people are from all around the world. So Super Cool School definitely has been a distributed team from the get-go, and I think more and more startups will. That's a general trend that is happening, and where it's not really outsourcing, but it's just you collaborate on a global scale.
But all of the founders are with you in the Valley, or even some of the three people that are working more on it are also in different places?
I mean, all of the, like, well, So the core people have been a Greek, a Russian, and a German. And Stalin, I have been mostly around in this area, and Vlad has been in Russia most of the time. But I was in Russia in between, and Vlad was here in between. And so it's definitely, the realm is changing, and it's not so much about, I mean, it's great to be together and to have like those bonding moments, but you don't necessarily for your everyday work need to sit together, that's for sure.
When you hear Mark Suster saying that he wouldn't invest in a team where all the founders and core developers are together, so you would disagree and say that your experience is that it's absolutely possible to do a good job without, you know, obviously you need to see each other once in a while, but without being all week long together.
Absolutely. And that's, as I said, I mean, that's a general trend, and it's a paradigm shift that is happening of how people also are able to work together. I mean, you have a number of different tools and that allow you to do this very effectively. Yeah, I mean, in the Valley, there's more startups that are backed by very prominent investors that were global from the get-go. So I think, you know, there's still, probably still the majority of investors would invest into a startup which they can ride their bicycle to, and where all the founders sort of like live more or less next to them. But this is changing.
I like that. I agree with you. I think there's a new trend
And as we have new technologies to work together, I'm not saying at all that you don't need to see people ever. I think it's important and you gain a lot from it, but you don't need it to be constant, and it can be only, you know, once in a while, once every quarter is enough. Another thing, as time goes very quickly, another thing I really like to speak about, because I think it also shows a bit what you can achieve and what you're trying to do, is emergent transformation, so that I mentioned before. So this is a blog where you have guests who would write about what is deeply changing the world currently. How would you describe it?
Yeah, maybe to start with, how all of this started was basically an email that we sent out after an evening discussion. We said, hey, it seems like there's a number of companies out there that don't really have a name. There's no real brand. There's nothing that is really framing those companies. But one thing that they all have in common is that they try to change things on how we do them. Not just try to improve things, but they really try to fundamentally change how we do some things. And obviously, Super Cool School is one of them, where we fundamentally change how people learn, how people teach. And there's a number of other startups also in the space here in the Silicon Valley and all around the world that are tackling the space. And another thing that most of them have in common is that they are very much centered around this idea of unleashing the human potential and really trying to get the most out of each individual. So it's sort of like the human potential movement 2.0. It happened before in the 60s, where it was more theoretical discussion, whereas today we actually have all these tools in order to make this happen. We have Akiva that allows people all around the world to give money to people who need it, and suddenly you can empower people in poor regions to become who they really are. You have platforms that allow to exchange various types of assets and you know, education, money, work, like Odesk, for instance. And by doing this, you create a fundamentally new way of people learn, how people work, how people exchange values. And this was sort of the start of this whole discussion. And we just sent out an email, and suddenly there was this huge response from people all around the world who said, yeah, we feel the same, and there's something happening here. And out of this discussion, this blog was born, where we said, hey, we need to start communicating about it. We need to start to create this public discussion, where we first of all start to specify what are we actually talking about and how can we explain this to the public, and what is sort of the broader picture, what are some of the triggers, some of the companies that are triggering this development, what are some of the processes that those companies have in common, just to start building a bigger picture for anybody who is part of this movement, if you want so, and to start to create stories and pictures for people who don't know anything about this and who can start engaging with this new development.
Yeah, there's a lot to read and to learn there. The article are fairly deep. I mean, many of them, you know, it's not just a matter of, it's not microblogging. It's a real, reflection about what's happening in the world. So it's a good place to go and read. So I don't know if you have any startups or projects that, you know, in Europe we should also know about, or, you know, people we should follow, other things or the places we could get inspired.
There's a number of them, and let me start with education, because that's my heart and that's what I'm most passionate about. And let's maybe move away from the web and let's look at, I think one startup is very exciting. It's called Panama 5. It's very similar to also Singularity University, which is here in this Silicon Valley, started by Ray Kurzweil, Peter Diamandis, Larry Page, etc. And basically what both of them do is that they created a new way of how education works, which is based on a couple of weeks getting in experts from all very different areas and talking about their personal experience. Again, very similar to Super Cool School as well. And then people starting to work on their own projects and spinning out new prototypes and sort of getting their certificate in the end of the day for those prototypes that they built. And the way of how they structured this as a camp, but essentially as an education, as a rapid education model, is super exciting. And I think, you can check it out on palomar5.org or Singularity. Just search for Singularity University and you'll learn more about these two things. I think those are the seed for a new type of institutional education offline. So that's very exciting. Then going along the same lines, something that all of you should check out, and a number of the people that you interviewed actually, Benoit, are from the Sandbox Network also. Which is a new network of interdisciplinary crazy people who see the world as their sandbox and who really try to make a difference. And if you're looking for exciting projects, then just look into the Sandbox Network and see who of them is working on something in Europe. And then there's a bunch of small startups all around Europe. Wouldn't even know where to start. There's many, but another maybe interesting development around those startups is that you can see that there's a new way of how investment is happening, and all of this started in the Silicon Valley with Y Combinator, and it's very similar.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Very similar now in Europe. You have these new types of investment vehicles popping up all over Europe, and I think if you want to start a new company, then this is a great place to start with. One of them is Hack Forward. They basically give a pay a hacker, developer, programmer a year of their salary and give them all the environment that they need in order to build the next great products. There's other programs which do it more, like Y Combinator, which is just a 3-month program, and you come in with a team. So there's different ways of how to do this. What they all have in common is that it's less money and a lot more advice, a lot more network effects that come into the program. And I think anybody out there who wants to start their own company should look out for those those accelerators, that's how they're called, in order to start their new company and to find the right people to start the company with.
Yeah, I think there's been some discussion around Hack Forward, though. They take something like 30% of the company and they invest more money than a usual accelerator and angel investor. But still, I heard people who were disagreeing with the model of saying, once you're there, you don't have enough room left for further round of investment, especially if you're 2 or 3 founders. It becomes very difficult to go, you know, you're in the early stage funding, then you go to those A, B, C round. And so they say they were preferring models around, you know, taking less of the equity. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, you know, I think there are different ways, and everybody needs to decide in the end of the day how much help they need and how much they would give away for this. Hack Forward is built very much on the premise of develop hackers, engineers, building consumer-faced web products that don't need so much investment, but that really need a good network of advisors and a good network to leverage the product as soon as it's launched. And this being much more valuable than a monetary investment. So I think if, depending on what kind of product you want to do, Hack Forward is a great model, and in the end of the day, And for the value you get, you probably don't give away more money, more equity than with any other like traditional investment model. Whereas if you want to create something which is more fundamental innovation, maybe, or something where which also will become much bigger, right? I mean, a lot of the web consumer products, they will never get so large because the market is just on a different saturation point. I think for other products, it's actually what doesn't fit as well, and it's probably better to start by yourself in your garage and then to get in angel investors and step by step.
Yeah, I agree. You need to find what suits you best and go with it. If you need more, mentoring is priceless. And I mean, your first idea is not necessarily your last idea and or your best idea. So if you find great people, you're able to have great networks. Sometimes it's just worth to build a product that is very good. And then, you know, that's not the last thing you're going to do in life. It's true too. It's an interesting discussion though. And when you're in the situation of choosing, I guess that's when it becomes really tricky, as you said, for yourself, you know, what path do we want to go? It's good that you have enough options for everybody to find what they
like. Yeah, it's also very much a personality thing. I mean, there's a lot of founders, you know, there's any type of founder from sort of the lonely dictator who has their vision and who's also not, you know, who doesn't want to give anything up of their company and eventually they will succeed, to the more collaborative entrepreneur who wants to work with others and who doesn't care maybe so much about the equity and maybe more about the vision. There's a lot of different personalities, and Hack Forward, I'm sure, will attract more type of people who are maybe not so much about owning their thing. They're maybe not thinking so big, but like into the technology and into the ideas and what they can achieve with this.
Excellent. I think, yeah, we're beyond the usual half an hour framework. There were many things to talk about, and I'm really thankful that you took the time to tell us about all the opportunity in the online education, also everything you can do in Startup School. And in particular, I'm sure people who don't already know Startup School, they need to go there or even participate to super cool school as teachers or as just taking classes. There's a lot to do. Also, emergent transformation, there's a lot to think about and to participate, debate. So I think you're really putting out there a lot of things that are useful, and at least I find very interesting and very useful. So thanks for that. And I'm sure we'll have the chance to talk again, maybe in the Valley once you're back in Europe.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks very much for the great discussion, for the great questions. For all the listeners, if you would like to check out Startup School, then just type in startup.supercoolschool.com. I hope to see you soon again. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Bye-bye.